from the city by the Golden Gate. This is KSSR DB San Francisco, Swing Street Radio. Where the big bands swing. It's time for Yesteryear, a look back at your favorite dramas, westerns, comedies, and musical variety shows from the golden age of radio. Here's your host for Yesteryear, Craig Roberts.
Well, thank you, Dave, and once again, welcome to Yesteryear, the best from the golden age of radio. On today's program, two treats for you. Coming up a little bit later on, it's Inner Sanctum Mysteries with Death Across the Board, starring Raymond Massey and Jackson Beck. But first, on the lighter side of things, it's the Abbott and Costello Show from October of 1942, with special guest star Marlene Dietrich. Bud Abbott and Lou Costello started out in vaudeville long before rising to stardom on radio and later the silver screen. Though they're best remembered for their 36 films, Abbott and Costello were heard on radio for more than a decade, appearing as regulars first on the Kate Smith Hour and later the Chase and Sanborn Hour, opposite Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy. Throughout their career, the duo incorporated many classic vaudeville routines into their radio programs. Groucho Marx considered Bud Abbott to be the best straight man ever. The legendary Charlie Chaplin praised Lou Costello as the best comic working in the business today. On this rendition, Costello inadvertently becomes an accomplice to a bank robbery. With special guest star Marlene Dietrich, here's Deadpan Gulch from October of 1942, The Abbott and Costello Show on Yesteryear.
Major Bowes, I miss the shadow nose, Fred Allen's alley folks, the laughter of Duffy's Tavern, Helen Trent, then we went to Can You Top This? Suspense in the Whistler sent those shivers up our spines. Uncle Don, I wish that he was on. Jack Armstrong, Bert and Marge, Amos and Andy. I long to turn the dial again to hear the past smile again. Radio, I miss you. Sodio, volio, dodio, do. Radio, I miss you so.
The Abbott and Costello Program. With the music of Leith Stevens and his orchestra, the songs of Connie Haynes and the Campbell Quintet, tonight's guest, Miss Marlena Dietrich, and starring Bud Abbott and Lou Costello.
Hey, Abbott!
No, Costello.
Oh, Abbott, will you stop that noise? What are you doing here in the studio dressed in your bathing suit?
Well, I spent all day trying to get my car out of the swimming pool.
What was it doing there?
Don't you read the papers, Abbott? The government says you have to pool your car.
No, you dummy. They mean share the ride. You have to pick up people.
Oh, I did that yesterday. I picked up Helen, Mary, Rosie, and Josie.
But your car holds more than that.
Yeah, but now they only allow you four gals a week. They allow you now because you can't get it.
Well, never mind that, Costello. Where have you been all week? What have you been doing?
Oh, boy, have I been having fun with Connie Haynes.
No kidding.
Last Saturday, I took her to a football game. What a game! What excitement!
Any passes?
No. Her mother was with us. And another thing, Abbott, there was a man sitting next to us with a 6-month-old baby. All afternoon, the kid was crying. He was so hungry.
Well, didn't the father bring a bottle?
Yeah, but the kid wanted milk. Finally, to shut the kid up, I give him a penny.
Well, did that keep him quiet?
Yeah, but he kept waving the penny in front of my binoculars. It ruined the game.
How did it ruin the game?
All afternoon, Lincoln was playing in the backfield.
No. Well, forget the football game.
Much better this afternoon, huh?
Yes, a lot better. We've got other things to worry about. You know, our announcer, Ken Niles, is complaining because he didn't have enough to do last week. Isn't that right, Ken?
Yes, it is. After all, I could give the program a lift. I'm a shot in the arm.
You said it. You're a dope.
Now, don't be silly, Costello. Niles is very popular.
Why, sure. Right after the broadcast last week, a lot of women chased me up Hollywood Boulevard, and one of them caught me and threw her arms around my neck.
I saw that.
You did?
Yeah. When did you snatch her pocketbook?
Now, cut it out, Costello. Now, I talked to Ken's wife, and she says he should have more lines. She says he's got talent. She says he's terrific. She says he's colossal.
She says this. She says that. I don't care what his wife says.
Well, I do. My wife is a wonderful person. She's as necessary to me as an umbrella in a rainstorm.
I'll take the umbrella. It's easier to shut up.
No. Now, why don't you be reasonable, Costello? Mrs. Niles is a very sweet girl.
Yes, she is. You know, she's a great deal like Sonia Hattie.
You mean you have to keep her on ice?
Please.
You folks hearing us?
Now, wait a minute. Just a minute. Now, that isn't fair, Costello. Now, let's get together here. Give Ken a chance to show what he can do.
Okay. Well, yeah.
Thanks, Bud. I'd like to read a little tidbit that I just happened to bring along.
Oh, this is going to murder you.
One night as I sat rocking on my chamber floor, came a knocking, gentle knocking, knocking on my chamber door. Quoth the raven, nevermore. Quoth the raven, nevermore. There, how'd you like that?
Don't look now, but the raven just laid an egg.
Everybody, and hello, my fat little sugar man.
Oh, this voice of this kid is temperaneous.
Shh, quiet.
Hello, Connie.
Mr. Costello, honey, I'd like you and Mr. Abbott to meet someone. This is my Aunt Ruby.
Hello, nice to meet you.
Hi, Aunt Ruby. How do you like California?
Connie doesn't have enough to do.
Wait a minute. After all, I
listened to the program last week, and there should be more music. Connie ought to sing 45 songs. There's nothing but talk on the program. And who wants to hear a lot of talk? Talk?
Hold your hat. Here comes another race.
After all, Mr. Costello, I taught Connie to sing. Why, even I sang in New York, Philadelphia, Cincinnati, Cleveland, Chicago.
What about St. Louis?
They beat the Yanks. Ha-ha, ha-ha. I really struck you out that time.
You struck me out, huh?
Mm-hmm.
And you're just the old bat that can do it.
Now, here! Wait a minute. Now, just a second, Costello. You can't talk like that to Connie's Aunt Ruby. Maybe she's right. Maybe this program needs more singing.
Exactly. Everyone loves singing. Something like this. All through the night, there's a little brown bird singing. Oh, well, of course. You know, I just had my tonsils taken out.
Have them put back in.
Costello, what right have you got to criticize? What do you know about singing?
Now, look, Abbott, if I hadn't come from such a large family, I'd have been a great singer.
What did the large family have to do with it?
I could never get in the bathroom.
Oh, no. Come on, Costello, make up your mind. Are you going to give Niles and Connie more to do or not?
Why should I? If I give them more to do, the first thing you know, even the sound man will want more to do.
And why shouldn't I? What did I have on last week's program? Nothing. Not even a door slam. I understand doors. I know doors inside and out. I talk to doors and they talk to me.
What do you hear from them now?
Ah, well may you laugh. Little do you know how important every little sound is to me. Even the sound of a moth chewing on an overcoat. Like this.
What's that funny sound?
That's the moth spitting out the buttons.
Don't you think sounds are fascinating? Here is a sample of my day. When work is through, I walk home at night in the rain. I open the door. I go in and shut the door. Then I walk upstairs in the rain.
It's raining in the house?
Yes, we're waiting for a government ceiling.
You must have a better writer than us, huh?
Yeah, I imagine so.
I jump into bed and sleep. It's morning.
What a night!
I've got to catch the train. I kiss my wife before I go to the office. My wife kisses me. I kiss her. She kisses me.
Wait a minute. What about the office?
With a wife like that, why should he go to the office?
You're listening to listener-supported Swing Street Radio. Swing Street Radio, where the big bands swing. The sounds of the golden age of radio continue with Yesteryear.
Orchestra with a Camel Quintet doing Abraham from the Holiday Inn. And now,
Abbott.
Ladies and gentlemen, oh, quiet.
Abbott!
What's the matter?
Hey, look. Look what I got. Look at all the money.
Wait a minute, Costello. Where did you get that roll of bills?
I went outside for a minute. Just when I reached the corner, a guy ran out of the bank with a bag full of money. And he gave me some.
He gave it to you?
Mm-hmm.
What did he look like?
I couldn't tell. He had such a bad cold, he had a handkerchief tied across his nose.
Well, you dumb cluck, that was a mask. The man was a bank robber.
Oh, I don't think so, Abbott. He was the president. He offered to sell me the bank for a squawk.
Sell you the bank for a squawk?
Yeah, he said, one squawk out of you and I'll give you the business.
Of all the dumbbells, why didn't you go into the bank and investigate?
I did go in. And what a way to run a business. I walked in and a couple of clerks were playing hide and seek.
That's ridiculous.
Honest. One guy was hiding in the closet. The other guy was under the counter. There was nobody around to play with him. Then there was another guy.
What other guy?
He was trying to do tricks.
Trying to do tricks?
Yeah, he was laying on the floor trying to escape from a lot of ropes.
And you thought he was playing a game?
Fine time to play games. Huh?
Yeah.
Especially when he had a toothache.
He didn't have a toothache.
No? Then why did he have a plaster across his mouth?
The man had a gag in his mouth.
If he did, he never got a chance to tell it.
Oh. Listen, you should have taken the plaster off his mouth.
I did. And right away, a guy started worrying about his... rationing card.
Worrying about his rationing card.
Yeah, he started yelling, they took the sugar. They took the sugar.
Oh, no, Costello. The man was yelling because he was stuck up.
Stuck up?
Sure.
A fine time to get a swelled head.
No.
Somebody might have robbed the place.
He did rob the place. Look, was there anybody with him?
Just a woman.
A woman? Why didn't you mention her before?
She didn't appeal to me.
Oh. Did you pinch her?
No.
Then you should have held her.
If I'd have held her, I'd have pinched her.
You idiot.
Hello, Biff.
Do you realize that by keeping the money and letting the crooks get away, you've made yourself an accomplice? Ken Niles, turn on the radio. Maybe we'll get a police report. Hurry up.
Okay, bud.
Okay.
Hey, you hear that, Abbott?
What's that?
There's a message.
Well, what does it say?
Attention all citizens. The Fifth National Bank has just been held up by Black Pete and his gang of desperate bandits. When last seen, the gang was headed for their hideout at Deadpan Gulch. Also at large is their accomplice, described as 5 feet tall. 5 feet wide, that is all.
That's me, Mr. 5x5.
Costello, you know the police are after you. Now, you've got to capture that gang to clear yourself. Now, you can't do it alone, so call a posse. That's the thing.
Okay. Hip, pushy, pushy, pushy.
No.
Hip, pushy.
No, Lou, please.
Deadpan Gulch is in the heart of the cattle country. It's the home of the Western bandits and cattle rustlers.
Then I'm just a guy, Abbott. I became a three-letter man chasing cattle rustlers.
Oh, how could you become a three-letter man chasing cattle rustlers?
I sat on a branding iron.
But did that cause you to catch the rustlers?
Catch them? I passed them.
But this is going to be a long trip. You'll have to get an outfit. What are you going to wear?
I'll wear a 10-gallon hat, a tan shirt, a leather belt, and a bloodhound.
What pants?
The bloodhound.
All right. Never mind the outfit. And another thing you'll need is a horse. Have you got a horse?
Have I got a horse?
Yes.
I got a horse, and he's my pal.
Well, that's swell.
I eat with my horse.
That's wonderful.
I drink with my horse. I even sleep with my horse.
You sleep with your horse?
I got it. It's his blanket.
Now tell me, can you ride a horse?
Sure I can ride a horse. One time, Abbott, I rode two horses at once, standing up. Mm. I had my right foot on one horse, my left foot on the other horse. All of a sudden, we came to a fork in the road. Each horse went in a different direction.
That was a laugh.
Yeah, I thought I'd split.
Well, never mind. The first thing you have to do is find the bandit's trail. When you do, you leap into the saddle and away you go. Your face is stern, your grip is sure, your clutch is firm.
How's my transmission?
All right, I'll ask you. Please be quiet. Then you ride. You ride out across the prairie. You ride for hours and hours on end.
That sounds logical.
Don't interrupt, please. You ride and you ride until your trousers are worn thin. Finally, there you are.
I knew I'd come through.
Yeah. Well, Costello, what are you going to do? Are you going out after the bandits? Are you going to clear your name?
I'm going to clear my name, Abbott.
Attaboy.
I'll do it.
I knew it was in you.
I'm going to get it out of me right now.
Come on.
I'll get them bandits. But just tell me one thing. If I get killed, what's going to happen to that little fellow that depends on me? The poor little fellow won't get anything to eat anymore. That poor little fellow won't even have a roof over his head. If anything happens, Abbott, it'll kill him. The poor little fellow.
Costello, who is the poor little fellow?
Me?
And here's Connie Haynes with the Camel Quintet to sing a new tune of the Old West, Cow Cow Boogie.
Out on the plains, down near Santa Fe, I met a cowboy riding the range one day. And as he jogged along, I heard him singing a most peculiar cowboy song. It was a ditty he learned in the city. Come a tie-yi-yi-ay, come a tie-yip-tie-yi-ay. Get along, get hip, little doggies, get along. Better be on your way, get along. Get hip, little doggies, and he trusts them on down. The old bear way, singing his cow, cow, boogie, in the strangest way. Come a tie-yi-yi-ay, come a tie-yip-tie-yi-ay. Singing his cowboy song, he's just too much. He's got a knocked-up Western accent with a Harlem touch. He was raised on Louisville. He's what you call swing half-breed. Singing his cow-cow boogie in the strangest way. Come a tie-yi-yi-ay, come a tie-yip-tilly-yi-ay.
Singing his cowboy song, it's just too much. He's got a knocked up Western accent
with a Harlem touch. He was raised on local weed. He's what you call swing half breed. Singing his cow cow boogie in the strangest way. Come and say yippee-aye. It's the cow, cow boogie, the cowboy boogie song.
And now back to the adventures of our heroes, Abbott and Costello, as we find them hot on the trail of the bank bandit Black Pete. Leading a posse of men, they track the villain to the lawless town of Deadpan Gulch. Here they are, riding up the main street of the town.
like a spurs. That jingle, jangle, jingle, 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 jingle.
What's wrong? What's wrong?
One of my spurs got stuck.
Costello, what do you think you're doing? Why are you riding underneath your horse?
Well, my horse isn't feeling well, Abbott, and the doctor told me to watch his stomach.
Well, here we are, man. We'll probably find Black Pete in the Red Dog Cafe across the street. Stop your horse.
Okay.
Whoa!
Whoa, Lolly!
Whoa! Whoa, boy! Whoa! Attaboy. Take it easy, Nellie. Sit down. Whoa, Nellie.
All right, men. Everybody into the bar for a drink. Now, now! Just the men! You horses stay outside.
All right, let's go in. And listen, Costello. When we go through this door, have your gun ready. If anybody moves, shoot.
If anybody shoots, I'll move.
All right.
When I die, you'll see the preacher. Oh, speaking of my glory and my fame.
Hey, Abbott, listen to that. What a pair of pipes. Wish I was a plumber.
And tell them my son.
Costello, don't you recognize her?
Tell them my
quiet. She's the toast of Deadpan Gulch.
My
really?
Side of the same.
Oh, Marlena Dietrich. Oh. 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 Look at that lovely face. That face has made a fortune.
Yeah, it runs into a nice figure.
Hello, boys.
Hello, boys. How big are men where you come from?
Welcome to the Red Dog Cafe. Did you like my song? What do you think of my range?
Your range is lovely. In fact, I like your whole kitchen.
Well, you flatter me. You're probably tired after your long trip. How about a drink?
Okay. I'll have a Crosby cocktail.
What's that?
One drink and then bing.
With your personality, I would suggest straight corn.
What a fresh kid.
Just a minute, Marlena. You see, neither one of us is a drinking man. Do you have anything a little milder?
Try a drink of this very mild wine.
Now, that sounds better. I'll try it.
Costello, just a minute. What's the matter?
I don't understand. That wine is made here by the Hoppy Indians.
Hoppy Indians? One of the Indians is still hopping in it.
Costello, that's silly. Come on. Let's go over and watch the boys play roulette.
Yes. Or perhaps you both would rather play a game with me. Poker, faro, blackjack.
I'd rather play post office.
But that's a kid's game.
Not the way I play it.
You know, little fat man, I could go for someone like you.
You could?
Yes. Do you know someone?
Sure. I... Kid,
now, look, keep quiet, Costello. Don't talk like that to Marlena. She may know where Black Pete is. Try to win her confidence. Turn on the charm, you know.
I'll turn on the charm. Okay, watch me. Marlena, my love, I adore you.
You do?
Yeah.
Marlena, will you let me be your slave? Will you let me do something for you that I have never done for any other woman?
What's that?
Will you let me press your slacks?
Costello, will you stop that? You just don't know how to handle these Western girls.
Oh, yes, I do, Abbott. Marlena, one time I was in love with a bullying cowgirl. She was too bullying to run at the kettle.
What do you mean?
Well, she had a terrible time getting her calves together.
What are you talking about, Costello? You've never even been in love with a girl.
Yes, I was. I can see her now. She always wore cotton stockings.
Cotton stockings? What happened to her?
Nothing. But of all the girls I got tattooed on my chest...
On your chest?
Marlena, I love you the best.
The best?
Better than the rest.
The rest?
In the West.
The West?
On my chest.
On your chest?
There's an echo in the joint.
Well, there's no question about it, Costello. Marlena Dietrich just can't be bothered with a man like you.
Marlena, is that true?
Oh, Lou. If you only had the eyes of Clark Gable.
Yes.
The nose of Tyrone Power.
Yes, yes.
The chin of Gary Cooper.
Yes.
The face.
The face of who?
That's all. If you only had a face.
You know, the kids get nuts.
Well, look here, Costello. We're wasting time. Did you forget why we came to Deadpan Gulch? We've got to find Black Pete's hideout.
Black Pete? He's the most dangerous character in these parts.
Boy, he don't bother me.
But he's very tough. He eats little men like you every morning when he gets up.
That's me, the breakfast of champions.
But Lou, why don't you give up this mad search? It can only lead to your death.
I think you got something there, kid. Hey, Abbott, I am scared. Ain't you scared?
No, I'm not scared.
Then why are you biting my nails? But no matter what happens, I'm going after Black Pete, Marlena. And if I die, I want you to take this shirt of mine as a keepsake.
But suppose you don't die.
Then wash it and have it back by Monday. And no starch in the collar either.
Listen, Costello, cut out the foolishness. Now we line up everybody in the room until we find our man.
That's right, Abbott. Everybody line up and empty out your pockets.
Why are you making them empty their pockets?
I lost my yo-yo.
Now, wait a minute, boys. It's not necessary to look any further. I am Black Pete.
You are? What a fresh kid!
What a stale plot.
I think you got something there. Marlena, I still don't believe all this is true.
It is true. I took the money from the bank, but I did not steal it. It was my own money. It was my pin money.
$100,000 pin money?
I have very expensive pins. If you don't believe me, I assure you. I have all the money right here in my stocking. Look.
Abbott, what a cute bank. What a place to make a deposit. Oh, Marlena, if I give you all my money from the bank, will you put it in your other stocking?
Certainly.
Costello, don't be an idiot. Your money is safer in the bank.
Why do you want to put it in her stocking? Because that's where it's going to draw the most interest.
And now a word about next week's program. You'll hear more music from Leith Stevens and the orchestra, more songs by Connie Haynes and the Camel Quintet, and a gripping dramatic story of life in the squared circle with our guest star, John Garfield. Now, here is a short preview of next week's program. Thousands of people are assembled in Madison Square Garden. All eyes are focused on the two fighters in the center of the ring, Killer Garfield and Kewpie Costello. There is a terrific exchange of blows. The crowd is on its feet. Costello is on his face.
Costello, get up. Get up. Get up off your knees and quit playing with those marbles. What marbles? I'm picking up my teeth.
Be sure to tune in next Thursday night at the same time for another big comedy show starring Bud Abbott and Lou Costello, with John Garfield as our guest.
From October of 1942, there's Deadpan Gulch with special guest star Marlene Dietrich on The Abbott and Costello Show. A special edition of Inter Sanctum Mystery with death across the board as yesteryear continues.
You're listening to listener-supported Swing Street Radio. Swing Street Radio, where the big bands swing. The sounds of the golden age of radio continue with yesteryear. Here's Craig Roberts.
Inner Sanctum Mysteries aired from January 1941 through October of 1952 on radio and was created and produced by Hyman Brown. Inner Sanctum Sinister Host every week invited listeners through the creaking door to another night of horror. Lights Out veteran Raymond Edward Johnson provided the sibilant tones of Inner Sanctum's macabre host during the first four seasons. From June of 1945, it's Death Across the Board. A murderer plays a deadly game of chess with the police. Starring Raymond Massey and Jason Beck, it's Death Across the Board on Inner Sanctum.
Lipton Tea and Lipton Soup present Inner Sanctum Mysteries.
Good evening, friends.
This is your host of the Inner Sanctum, welcoming you to another half hour of Gore Galore. Come in, won't you, and sit down. No, not there. You'll sit on Ezekiel. He wouldn't like that. Besides, you'd probably find him pretty cold. We've been keeping him on ice for about 6 months now. What? That noise? Oh, that's just his teeth chattering. No, not because he's cold, but because he just finished going over tonight's story and... Well, I guess you could call him a scared stiff. Tonight's story is called Death Across the Board. It's an original radio play by Robert Newman. And our star is that famous dramatic actor of stage and screen, Raymond Massey, who will play the role of John Strange. Do you like to play games? Your life, and even your soul, on one throw of the dice or the turn of a card. You don't care for such high stakes, eh? Well, did it ever occur to you, by living, you're playing such a game, and that your opponent was death? Tonight, I'm going to tell you a story about a man who sat in death's place, playing with human lives, and of what happened to him. It is about 10 o'clock on a sultry summer evening, and Dr. John Strand is standing in front of the window of a pawn shop in the oldest part of the city. On a sudden impulse, he pushes open the door.
Good evening, sir.
Good evening.
Is there anything I can do for you?
No, thank you. If you don't mind, I'd just like to look around.
By all means. I just thought if there was something in particular.
Oh, I really didn't have anything special in mind. I just thought... Hello.
My chess set.
Yes, a very interesting set. And a very interesting game you're playing.
My dear sir, you have no idea how interesting.
Whose move?
White.
Then white should win in 6 moves.
That, sir, is very much open to question.
Well, perhaps we can play sometime. How much for this set?
Not for sale.
Oh. Too bad.
Yes. However, if you're interested in chess and chessmen, I know of a set that I think might appeal to you. It's an Arabian set. 12th or 13th century ivory. The white pieces are Saracen warriors. The black pieces are crusaders.
Do you have it here?
Unfortunately, no. It's not very far away. I thought you'd like to see it.
Well, if it's not too outrageously expensive, then you're sure it's no bother?
My dear sir, don't give it another thought. I'll be most anxious for your reactions, even if you don't buy. The address is 23 Valent Place. It's down 2 blocks, one to your right. Go up one flight and ask for Felix. Tell him that Raphael sent you.
23 Valent Place. Up one flight. As for Felix.
I'll phone him and tell him to expect you. Your name is?
Strand. Dr. John Strand.
Very good, Dr. Strand. Somehow I have the feeling we shall see each other again. Perhaps we should even have the chance to play that game you mentioned before.
Who's that? Who's there?
Felix?
I said, who's there?
My name's Strand. Raphael sent me over here. He said he'd phone you and...
Just a second.
How do you do? I hope I'm not disturbing
okay,
you.
Okay, come on in. And stick him up.
What? I'm afraid there must be some mistake.
It sure is, Bob, and you made it, thinking you could come here and take me this way.
Well, this is ridiculous.
I said stick him up. Keep him up, or I'll let you have it right now.
What for?
Because I said so, that's what's for.
Let go of me! Let go!
Drop that gun!
Or drop it, you hear? Where is it? Where is it? Sure, let you have it right away!
Okay. Now get up and tell me what this is all about. I said get up and... Felix. Dead.
He's dead.
Hello?
Phoenix.
I'm sorry, but he can't come to the phone right now.
Dr. Strand?
I am.
I'm Alice Hines. He must have been expecting you. He asked me to give you this.
What is it?
I don't know, but I...
Another chessman. A white knight.
Oh, yes. Mr. Rayfield is quite a chess player.
He's more than that. He's a murderer.
What? What do you mean?
He sent me to see someone, a man named Felix, to look at a chess set. When I got there, he pulled a gun on me and... Well, when I tried to get it away from him, it went off and killed him.
Oh, no.
Don't look so surprised and innocent. You work for him. You must know what it's all about.
There must be some mistake, some horrible mistake.
A mistake, eh? Then why did he phone Felix's while I was there? How did he know he'd been killed? Why did he laugh about it? Tell me to come here.
Well, I don't know, but I can't believe that about him. I won't.
No? Well, we'll see what the police have to say about it. Where's the phone?
Back there. But if you're serious about it, you don't have to bother calling them. Riley just went past here a few minutes ago. There he is, up at the corner.
Fine. That'll save some time. Officer! Oh, officer, what'd you...
Good. Good Lord.
Someone shot him.
That woman hiding behind that car there. The woman in black. She's coming in here. Don't just stand there. Get inside and shut the door. You shot Riley. You killed him. 6 months I've been trying to find out who got Ben. Now I can rest in peace. Where's Rayfield?
Rayfield?
He's the one that cut the dope for me. Told me how to knock the cop off. Told me to come in here afterwards.
Well, Miss Hines?
Why are you looking so funny? Say, whose side are you on, anyway?
Not ours, my dear. Not ours.
That's it. I just took it for granted you were working for Rafe. Okay, get him up and keep him up. What'll I do with him, Rayfield? Where are you anyway?
Oh, I'm around here someplace. As to what to do with him, I leave that to your discretion. After all, they are witnesses.
Yeah. That's right.
May I recommend the cellar? Right through that door there.
Okay. Get moving.
I repeat, Miss Hines. Well?
Fantastic. What are you going to do to us?
You can't be that dumb, baby face. 6 months I've been wearing black for the only guy I ever loved. I finally get the guy that got him. You think I'm going to leave the two of you around to put the finger on me?
You mean you're going to kill us? You cannot.
Well, seems to me I did a pretty neat job on that flatfoot. After all, they can't burn you more than once. Okay, open that door and go on down.
Allow me, madam.
Never mind, wise guy. You go down first, and Babyface.
It's not very good manner.
No, I'm not going to let you do it. Give me that.
No, I don't. You fool. Let it go.
Down after. Now, hurry. Watch while I get the gun.
I didn't mean to do it. I was just trying to get the gun, but she tripped. She fell. It's trance. Why is she lying there so funny? Her hip.
Let's see. Huh? Her neck's broken. She's dead.
Oh, no. That means I killed her.
Not any more than it means I killed Felix.
Look. There, lying next to her. Isn't that another chess piece?
The Black Queen.
Why, he gave me one just like that when I first came to work for him. Only it was a white one.
What? Black Queen, White Queen, White Knight, and...
No! It's impossible.
And still...
You thought of something.
It's too incredible. But I've had a certain nightmare vision that... Come on. We're going to the police. Maybe it's our move now.
Well, live and learn. I always had an idea that I wouldn't like chess, that it was a pretty slow game. But here we've only been playing for about 15 minutes, and we've chalked up 3 corpses already. Yes, this kind of chess is just like a divorce. Well, it's a good way to get rid of your wife. That is, if she's a stale maid.
You're listening to listener-supported Swing Street Radio. Swing Street Radio, where the big bands swing. The sounds of the golden age of radio continue with Yesteryear.
Well, let's go back to our game of chess. And our star, Raymond Massey, who's playing the role of John Strand. It's about a half hour later now. Dr. Strand and Alice Hines are sitting in a bare, quiet room, the chief's office at police headquarters. For the past 10 minutes, Strand has been talking steadily, describing everything that has happened.
So you each bumped someone off, eh? And you've come to give yourselves up.
We certainly did not come here to give ourselves up, Chief. I told you that in both cases it was self-defense. We're here because of a madman loose, a homicidal maniac. It just came to me a little while ago. There was something strangely familiar about this Raphael, and... Did you ever hear of Raphael Norbert?
No.
He was one of the greatest chess players the world has ever known. About 5 years ago, he disappeared. Well, he's playing another chess game now. The maddest game that ever was. Is there a map of the city around?
Right there on the wall.
Let's see. Now, here's Rayfield's shop. And yes, this would be it. This section of the city here is 8 blocks each way. This is his chessboard. And human beings, people like Alice and I, are his chessmen.
What?
John.
I know it sounds fantastic, but I think it's true. When he sent me to Felix's, he told me to go down 2 blocks and 1 to the right. That's the move of the knight. In other words, he had cast me as one of the white knights in his crazy game. Alice was the white queen. Himself was the black king, and so on.
He just lined up all these people. Said, you play this piece, you play that,
no,
and...
That was the beauty of the game. The fascinating, exciting part to him. No one knew that they were playing in it, but he. For instance, Felix didn't know that he was a black rook any more than I knew I was a white knight. But his black pieces were all criminals of some sort who wouldn't hesitate to kill. And it was by killing that one piece took another. You see, that was the ultimate refinement, the thing that made this the greatest game Norbert has ever played. He could plan a move, but he had no way of telling which piece would take which. For instance, I killed Felix instead of his killing me. In other words, he was not only playing his game against law and order, against society, but he was matching his brains against that of every piece in the game.
Against law and order, eh? I got this in the mail a couple of weeks ago, without any letter or anything. How would it fit in with your theory?
The White King. Of course. He's cast you in the role of the White King. In other words, he's playing this game principally against you.
Now, do you believe this, Mr. Adams? Do you?
I don't know. It's possible, I suppose. We've been having a funny kind of crime wave lately. Killings without any apparent... Hello?
Hello, Chief. Blanty speaking. Down the corner of 3rd and Sycamore, and there's something kind of screwy going on.
Hello? Hello? Blanty?
What's the matter?
One of our detectives calling from 3rd and Sycamore. Said there was something screwy on, and then... Well, sounded like somebody got him. I'll make sure about this before you answer, but... Would this be part of what you were talking about?
Let's look at the map again. 3rd and Sycamore. That would be in the area that's Rayfield's chessboard. Yes, I think it is.
Okay, come on. We're going down there.
There he is, lying next to the call box.
Dead. Stabbed.
Look there, lying next to him. Another chess piece.
A pawn. A white pawn. Of course. If you're the White King, then all your men would be pawns.
Pawns, huh? They're the pieces that get pushed around, aren't they?
Well, they're the ones that are usually sacrificed.
Two of my men, Riley and Valenti. Okay, Strand, you're a chess player. You think you can figure out what this Rayfield character is going to do next? Tell me how I can meet him?
I might. I only got a very quick look at the board. If I can remember the location of the pieces...
You mean he's actually got a board set up showing where all the pieces, everybody is?
There's one set up on a little table right next to his desk. No one's allowed to touch it.
That's the one. And it was because I noticed it, commented on it, that I got involved in this nightmare. I think I do remember the position of all the pieces that were left. But of course, some moves may have been made since I saw it last.
Well, what are we fooling around for? Let's go to that shop and make sure. All dark. Doesn't look as if anyone's in the store.
Locked, all right. You got a key, haven't you, Alice?
No, Rayfield never gave me one. He always locked up himself.
Well, what do we do?
Two of my men killed and you ask me something like that. Look out. Okay, where's the light?
Right here. There's the chessboard over there.
I know. Let's take a look at it.
This all there is to the place?
Except for the cellar. She must still be down there. That woman in
black...
We'll
go down there later. Well, Strand?
Well, at the moment, black seems to have the edge on us. Several moves have been made, and we've lost several pieces. But we still got a fair chance...
The devil's winning that game. Where's this Rayfield guy, the Black King? What's he going to do next?
Just give me another minute or two, will you? The Black King is still in his own square, which would seem to mean that Rayfield was still here someplace. The thing is, I'm not sure whose move it is now.
You're right, Strand. I am still here. And it's my move.
What in thunder?
It's him speaking over some kind of loudspeaker system. Maybe from the cellar.
From the cellar, huh? Now, I'm going to...
Alice! Alice, where are you?
Oh, over here.
Are you all right?
I think so. What was it? What happened?
He must have had the place mined or set a booby trap, and when Adams went to open the cellar door, he... Where is Adams?
What? I'm not sure, but I think he's over there.
I must have some match or something. Here. Under that beam. There. Help me lift it off. He's pretty badly hurt. Just let me get a few tourniquets tied on him. And we better get him to a hospital. This way. The emergency ward's right in there.
How do you know?
Well, I ought to. I interned here. Funny. There's no one around. Well, let's put him right there on the table.
Aye.
Gently. That's it. Hello? This is Dr. Strand speaking from the emergency ward. I've got a very severe accident case here. Is there anyone around who can take care of it? What about surgery? Crandall? Oh, fine. Will you ask him to get down here as soon as possible? Thanks. The chap I used to know just finishing an operation. He'll be down in a few minutes.
Will there still be time?
Yes, I think so. We'll have to give him a transfusion once we get him patched up. I'll start scrubbing up myself in case Crandall needs a hand.
Isn't there anything I can do?
Just keep your eye on him, the tourniquets particularly. It'd be too bad if he lost any more blood.
Right. He's still unconscious, but
not... Oh, hello, Crandall. That was quick. I'm awfully glad you were here. It's a pretty serious case. Adams, the chief of police. Explosion.
Huh?
If we don't work fast, we may lose him. Shock. Possible concussion. Right axillary artery severed. I got a tourniquet on. I'll be finished scrubbing up in a minute. Give you a hand.
Take your time. No hurry. I'll just...
What are you doing?
Removing the tourniquet.
Wait, I'm not ready with the ligatures yet. Oh. You're not Crandall. You're Rafe.
Right, Strand. Rafe Norbert. Dr. Crandall is still in surgery. Locked in, as a matter of fact. I put on this mask and gown not because I thought it would fool you. Because, well, somehow it just seemed appropriate.
But it can't be you. You were in the shop.
No, Strand. You're thinking of my voice. It was coming over a loudspeaker system from next door. If you're thinking of my position on the board, you forget. I hadn't made my move.
Rayfield, I don't know why you've done all this, and I don't care why. But you've got to let us do something about Chief Adams. All that bloody...
Yes, Rachel, for heaven's sake.
Now, don't move, either of you. I want to have to shoot. I sincerely hope it won't be necessary. After all, when the chief of police dies, the game will be over. And a most interesting game it's been.
But haven't there been enough deaths?
You're very sentimental. I'm afraid you never would make a good chess player. Pieces have been taken, that's all.
Rayfield, suppose we just give up. Say you've won.
That's right, Rayfield. We'll feed you the game. But let me do something about Adam. There's still time. I've got everything ready here. All the instruments.
No, Strand. This is one game I won't have seeded. But I insist on having played out to the last move.
That's the way you want it. All right. If I'm not mistaken, it's my move now.
Eyes! Eyes!
The formaldehyde won't help them any. Here's his gun, Alice. Watch him while I get these tourniquets back on Adam.
You think you can still save him?
Yes. His pulse is weak, but I think we can still save him. As for you, Rayfield, you made one bad mistake. You forgot that three of us came to your shop. The White King, White Queen, and White Knight. That would put you in check.
Well, Strand, I felicitate and congratulate you. If I'm to lose, I prefer to lose in my own way.
Watch your...
He went through the window.
There's a railroad underpass right outside. A drop of about 60 feet. I think that's game, match, and tournament.
What? You mean the game's over already? Well, that's impossible. We've still got some characters left, at least three of them that haven't been killed off. We've been robbed, and I think we ought to call for a return match. Let's take a vote on it there. All those in favor? 1, 2, 3. That's funny. It came out just the way it did for our friend Rayfield. The eyes got it.
Heavens, let's not have another game of chess.
Yes, Mary. Now do you see why they call the pieces chess men instead of women? Oh, this game's too rough for women.
It certainly is rough.
Oh, do you feel worn out and tired? Why don't you rest a while? Then you can slip into something comfortable, like a winding sheet. And if you want to be really fancy, you can put on your sterling silver medallion. What? You have no medallion? Well, here's how you get one. Just send...
Never mind. I'll tell them, thank you. Ladies, if you want to own a handsome sterling silver medallion, just send 25 cents and the box top from a package of Lipton, the tea with the brisk flavor, to Lipton Tea, Box 92, New York City.
Before I say goodnight, a word of advice. If you should ever get into a chess game with a stranger and you happen to notice that he's got a meat axe on his lap, don't get up and run. Just make sure that there's someone else around to help pick up the pieces. And now it's time to close the squeaking door until next Tuesday. Good night. Pleasant dreams.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
From June of 1945, it's been Death Across the Board, starring Raymond Massey and Jackson Beck, on this edition of Inter Sanctum Mysteries. Well, I'm afraid that's all we have time for, but as always, we invite you to join us each and every week at this time and invite a friend to listen and discover the best of the golden age of radio here on Yesteryear. Till next time, I'm Craig Roberts. So long.
Radio, remember radio. We'd sit and close our eyes and use our imagination. Comedy, mystery, fireside chat. Together we sat, listening nightly to our favorite shows. Radio, I miss you so, dio, vodio, dodio, do. Radio.